Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
So happens every year at Christmas, the white elephant gift exchange. Usually there's one with my work, there's one with my wife's job, and we don't do the gag gift version. We actually like buy like nice gifts for each other, usually $20 spending limit. So my wife and I will buy two gifts that we are intending to give away. And we get something that we think will be great that somebody will enjoy. This last Christmas for my wife's Christmas party, we got two $20 gift cards to Bonefish Grill. Pretty cool. So then the exchange starts, and the person who drew number one opens a gift. It was, in this case, a little blanket. And there's nothing wrong with little blankets, but we've got plenty of little blankets. Don't need another blanket. And so the number two opens their gift, and it was Christmas socks. And if I got Christmas socks, at most I would wear them once a year on Christmas, but the truth is I would never, never wear Christmas socks. And so my wife and I start whispering to each other, we need to get our Bonefish gift cards. We need to get our gift. And so then person number three opens, and it was a Snuggie. And we're like, we need to get our gifts. And so it's my turn now, and my wife says, choose the polka dot bag. And so I look around and I'm like, I'll choose the polka dot bag. And I open it up and I'm like, oh, Bonefish Grill gift card. That's cool. And everybody's like, ooh. And so the next person steals my Bonefish gift card. And so my wife's like, the Rudolph bag, choose the Rudolph bag. So I'm like, oh, open up the gift. Oh, look, another Bonefish gift card. And then somebody else steals that. And so my wife and I tried this intricate strategy of stealing the gift, the Bonefish cards, from each other, because at some point it locks the gift in place and you get to keep it. But our strategy did not work. And I went home that night with a grow your own oregano starters kit. It was a grow your own oregano, not grow your own oregano. It was real oregano. And my wife went home with the Christmas socks. And we were not happy because we wanted to keep those Bonefish gift cards that we bought to give to someone else. And that, of course, and obviously leads us to Black Panther. Obviously, right? So we're doing this series where we're looking at some recent movies and seeing what we can learn. How many of you saw Black Panther? A lot of you saw it? Yeah. So either way, let me give you the background because it's an interesting story. The beginning of the movie tells us that millions of years ago, a meteorite made of vibranium, the strongest substance in the universe, struck the continent of Africa and affected the plant life all around it. Five tribes ended up settling on this area, and they called it Wakanda. The tribes lived in constant warfare with each other until a warrior shaman was led by the spirit of the Black Panther to this heart-shaped herb. Well, this plant gave him superhuman strength and speed and instincts, and this warrior became the first king and first Black Panther of Wakanda, the protector of Wakanda. Well, the Wakandans used the vibranium to develop technology way more advanced than any other nation. But as Wakanda thrived, the rest of the world descended into chaos and poverty. To keep vibranium safe, the Wakandans vowed that they were going to hide in plain sight, to not let the rest of the world know about what they had. How? Well, they used their advanced technology to camouflage themselves behind an invisible bubble that made them appear from the outside to be typical African wilderness. So on the outside, it appeared to be plain old mountain ranges and rainforests. On the outside, Wakanda appeared to be one of the poorest countries in the world. Nothing to offer, just a third world country. Well, that's not real. because on the inside of the bubble, they have this lavish, technically advanced civilization. They have superior weapons, superior medical technology and armor. They can cure diseases, and it's all because of vibranium, the strongest and most valuable metal on earth. Vibranium is why their king runs around in a bulletproof cat suit, because it's what the Black Panther outfit is made of. They've been mining vibranium for thousands of years, and they realize they haven't even scratched the surface of what it can do for them. The Wakandans call vibranium Esifo, which means the gift, because it is the blessing that only they have, which they received from the sky. Okay, you got it? Cool. All right. So now, let me give you the background of God's people, which is an interesting story. So the beginning of the Bible tells us that a long, long time ago, no one on earth worshiped the one true God. They were all worshiping many gods, false gods, made up gods. And then the one true God spoke to this man named Abram. Eventually, Abram would be called Abraham, which means father of many. And to this day, both Jews and Christians consider Abraham to be the father of their faith. And so here's the first part of the conversation that God has with Abraham. We're going to put all the Bible verses on the screen for you. We also give out free Bibles at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. So if you need a Bible at home, we'd love to give you one today. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Later, God speaks to Abraham again, this time saying, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. So God says twice, I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. You will receive my blessing and everyone will be blessed through you. Right? Like I'm going to give you a gift for you to give to others. Well, from Abraham comes the nation of Israel, the Jews who back then were the only people who believed in and worshiped the one true God. The Jews were blessed by God to be a blessing. Like they all wore t-shirts that said hashtag blessed to be a blessing. It was really cool. They all had them. And the idea was that they would not be just a receptacle of God's blessing, but that they would be a conduit of God's blessing. It would flow to them, through them, to others. It's the difference between being a bucket where water goes in but doesn't necessarily come out and being a watering can, where the only whole purpose of putting water in is so that it goes out. It's the difference between bringing a gift that you hope someone else will receive and get to enjoy versus bringing a gift that you want to keep for yourself, right? God said, I will bless you so that you can give the blessing away to everyone. Well, the Israelites struggled with this. They tended to want to keep the blessing to themselves. And they found excuses for why. The world outside was often in chaos. And as God's people, they wanted to separate themselves from it, keep themselves pure. No. Yes, God's people, and yes, pure. But no on separating yourself from others. I mean, you can't. You're supposed to be blessing others. At one point, the Israelite nation is invaded and they're all taken captive and forced to live as exiles in a foreign land. Well, the Israelites obviously are not happy. They resent the people that they have to live amongst as you know, prisoners almost. And they reject the culture of these people. And so they seek to separate themselves from these people to keep themselves pure. No, you can't. You're supposed to be blessing those people. And so God speaks to them and corrects them. Look at Jeremiah 29:7. God tells them, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. The Jews were blessed by God to be a blessing, even to their enemies. They were blessed to be a blessing. And the most important way the Israelites blessed the world was Jesus. It was through the descendants of Abraham that Jesus came. He was the gift of Jesus who came from the sky through the Israelites. Jesus came as God's blessing to be a blessing. And Jesus lived for us. And then Jesus died for us. And then next week, we're going to celebrate Easter, which is the day we remember that Jesus rose from the dead for us. But before there was Easter, there was Good Friday. Good Friday is the day when Jesus was crucified. And people today call it good because we understand that it was only through Jesus' death that our sins can be forgiven so that we can have a relationship with God and go to heaven. His death took our place. Why did he do that? Because he was blessed to be a blessing. Well, Jesus dies and then raises from the dead, and then he launches the church. And so the church now become the people of God. And just as it had always been, the people of God are blessed to be a blessing. Man, you read the Bible, there are all kinds of amazing stories of the church living out its purpose of being a blessing. And they feed the hungry, and they bring healing to the hurting, and they sell their possessions so that they can give to the poor. And then after the Bible, history has all these amazing stories of how the church continued to be a blessing, how they would take care of people. And there's several stories where plagues hit cities and most people died. And anyone who didn't get the plague fled the cities so that they wouldn't stay and contract this deadly disease. Everyone left the cities except for the Christians who stayed behind to care for the sick and dying, even though they understood there was a good chance that they would catch those diseases. The church knew they were blessed to be a blessing. But when you survey the history of the church, what you see is that more and more and more Christians have wanted to keep God's blessing for themselves. And the church always has excuses like, man, the rest of the world can feel sometimes like it's in chaos. And as God's people, they wanted to separate themselves from it and keep themselves pure. No. I mean, yes, God's people, yes, pure, but no, on separating yourselves from others, you can't. You're supposed to be blessing those people. Some churches today, it's almost like they want to build walls, and it's like we're going to enjoy Jesus without letting our thing get messed up by outsiders. Some churches, it's almost like they create a bubble, and we're going to live inside the bubble. Like, we're not really interested in going outside the bubble, and we don't especially want anyone from outside coming inside the bubble. We just want to enjoy the gift for ourselves. In that way, the church can be a lot like Wakanda. So in the new movie, there's this new king, the new Black Panther, and his name is T'Challa. His father, the former king and Black Panther of Wakanda, he knew that they had something special and it was good. And so he decided that they were going to keep it for themselves and not let anyone else from outside come in and ruin what they had. But he's killed. And his son T'Challa takes over. There's also a young lady in the movie named Nakia. Nakia is the friend of T'Challa, the former girlfriend, the current love interest, the girl who you know they're going to end up kissing before this movie ends. And she's from Wakanda, but she does not live in the bubble. In fact, she's almost always living outside the bubble, doing really important things to serve people out there. Early in the film, T'Challa urges her. He says, come home, Nakia, stay. Nakia says, I can't stay. I have found my calling out there. T'Challa asks, what would you have people, what kind of do about it? She said, I have seen too many people in need to turn a blind eye. I can't be happy here knowing there are people out there who have nothing. T'Challa says, what would Wakanda do about it? She says, share what we have. We can provide aid and access and technology. We can be a refuge for those who need it. Other countries do it. We can do it better. T'Challa says, we are not like those other countries, Nakia. If the world found out what we truly are and what we possess, we would lose our way of life. Wakanda isn't strong enough to help others and protect ourselves at the same time. But eventually, T'Challa recognizes that he's wrong. He is wrong. She's right. It is true that they have something special, but that means they can't keep it for themselves. There's a couple times in the movie where T'Challa, in a dreamlike trance state. This is my dreamlike trance state. He goes to the ancestral plane where he gets to have a conversation with his dead father. And in their second conversation, T'Challa tells his father, he says, you were wrong. And his father defends himself. He says, I chose my people. I chose Wakanda. Our future depended on. And T'Challa interrupts him. He says, you were wrong. All of you were wrong to turn your backs on the rest of the world. We let fear keep us from doing what's right. No more. I must right these wrongs. And what he was saying was, listen, we were not blessed to be a blessed nation. We were blessed to be a blessing. And that's exactly what they start doing, and they start sharing what they have with the rest of the world. And that's the church. We weren't blessed to be blessed. We were blessed to be a blessing. A follower of Jesus, a Christian, is blessed to be a blessing. And that's the decision that you have to make, that I need to make, that we need to make. But in reality, it's really not a decision that's left to us, because God's already decided it for us. He has told us, if you want to be a church, then you are blessed to be a blessing. If you want to be a Christian, you are blessed to be a blessing. And that's us. As a church, we are blessed to be a blessing. That's why after the shooting on October 1st, the first thing we did was we opened our doors and invited people to come and pray and hang out here. And we started support groups for survivors, and we raised thousands of dollars to give to families who were impacted. Why? Because that's what we are. That we're blessed to be a blessing. That's why every year we do our Love Vegas Day, where we go out and we serve our city every year. That's why we have adopted Marble Manor. It's a housing project here in town. I think it's considered the worst housing project when it comes to poverty, crime, drugs, gangs. It's just a bunch of little kids who are growing up, like 4, 5, 6, 7 kids in a home and a single mom. The average income per household is $8,000 to raise all those kids. And so we have volunteers who go there every Wednesday night from 5:30 to 7, and we hang out with the kids, and we help them with their homework, and we read to them, and we do events throughout the year. We give them food. Why? Because we are blessed to be a blessing. That's why we've built houses for homeless families in Mexico and started churches in Ecuador and Poland and India. It's why we've started ministries in India that rescue women out of sex slavery and kids out of growing up in brothels. And it's why yesterday we did our Easter extravaganza. And we figure, like, we've got a little army of volunteers here, and we own a cotton candy machine and a popcorn machine. Let's throw a party. I don't know if you guys know this, but literally true, when Verve was first starting, not only the first thing we owned, but for quite a while, the only things that we owned were a bounce house, a popcorn machine, a snow cone machine, and a cotton candy machine. We said, if nothing else, let's set ourselves up to throw good parties. And that's what we did yesterday. We threw a party. We ended up having over 1,500 people here yesterday. And we did that by 120 people, over 120 people volunteering. If you volunteered yesterday, thank you so much for what you did. Man, it was awesome. And it was so amazing to see little kids and their parents leaving with big smiles on their faces because they just had a great time and it was free. And we did that because we are blessed to be a blessing. This is why Christians give. So God blesses us with money and with abilities that allow us to make money. Why does God do that for us? He tells us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, he says, yes, you will be enriched in every way. You're going to be given riches. Why? So that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So it's saying God blesses you, not so that you can keep all of that for yourself, but so that you can give it away, right? So if you've been to Verb before, you know that every single week we say this. We say, hey, if you're not a Christian, please don't. There's no expectation that you would give today. In fact, we would prefer you not to give. We hope that you leave feeling like this service was a gift that we gave to you. No expectation. But we don't say this, but if you are a Christian, God absolutely expects you to give. I mean, God tells us all through the Bible repeatedly that we are to give generously and consistently. Generously. God says, interestingly, that generosity begins at 10%. That generosity begins by giving 10% of whatever you bring in back. What's interesting about that to me is we have higher standards of what generosity is, right? If you gave a waiter or waitress a 10% tip, you'd be like, you're not being generous at all. And we think 15% is where generosity starts. God says 10% of what you bring in goes back to me, generously and consistently. Not like, oh yeah, I've forgotten to give, I need to give, but consistently as a habit. And so that's why so many of us, including like my wife and I, set up recurring giving online. So we have a real easy, safe way that you can give on the Verve website or the Verve app, and you can give a one-time gift. But the cool thing a lot of people do is you can set it up to give like whatever you want per week or every other week or every month, just a consistent amount. And the nice thing is that builds consistency into your giving. So if there's a week where you're not here or a week where you don't have any cash in your wallet or you forgot your checkbook, that's okay because you've set it up to give and you're giving consistently. And God says that's the life he's called us to. We give back to him and we're a part of the mission he has of sharing his love with the world. We are supposed to share God. We're supposed to share what God is doing. We're supposed to share what God has given us. And so I got to ask, are you? Are you a receptacle of God's blessing or are you a conduit of God's blessing? Are you keeping the gift for yourself or are you giving it away? I mean, and I guess we get real practical. Like, did you volunteer for Love Vegas Day? Do you volunteer at Marble Manor? Did you volunteer yesterday at Easter Extravaganza? Do you give generously and consistently? That's the life God's called us to. There's a prayer. A couple times I've shared with you, we kind of learned to pray together. I think it's like an awesome start your day every day kind of prayer. And it's this, God, how do you want to love me today? And who do you want to love through me today? God, how do you want to love me today? And who do you want to love through me today? I like that because it's a conduit prayer. It's a watering can prayer. It's like, God, I want your love. I need your love. I need to be filled with it. I want to experience it. I want to feel it, but not just so I can enjoy it, but so that I can give your love, share your love with others. You are blessed to be a blessing, to share God's love with the world, to serve and help hurting people, and to help people find faith in Jesus so they can have a relationship with God. If you have a relationship with God, and we get lots of people here who are just checking things out and don't quite have that yet, but if you do you remember what your life was like before you had a relationship with God? Whew. Man, when I think back on that, like my life was completely turned upside down in the best possible way. And when I think about people who don't have a relationship with God, man, I have to share that blessing with them. There's a guy in the Bible named Paul, and he writes in a book of the Bible called Romans. It's a letter he wrote to the Romans, chapter 9, verse 1 through 4. He says, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. So he's like, what I'm about to say, you're not going to believe, but it's true. He says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. What he's saying is, if I could, I would give up my relationship with God and spend forever in hell if it meant that other people could have a relationship with God and spend forever in heaven. Wow. Like, that is a burden for people outside the walls of Wakanda, right? That's the kind of burden I want to have. That's the kind of burden God wants all of us to have. We want to help people find faith in Jesus so they can have a relationship with God. We want everyone to be blessed so everyone can be a blessing. The Bible tells us that that God sent Jesus to the world in love, in hopes that everyone would know God and his love. And then Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, he said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So he transferred the mission to us. So it's our mission to help the world know God and his love. And the reason our church exists is to partner with you in this mission God's given you of helping your friends to know God and his love. That's why at Next Step, we teach this proven strategy. It's effective for sharing God's love with people. And that's why, like, we try real hard to make every service at Verve every week something that you can feel comfortable inviting your friends to, because we want to help your friends know God and his love. And so, like, how about we invite our friends here? Like, let's do this together. And every week is good, but the best weeks to invite your friends are Easter and Christmas. So there's all kinds of research that tells us most people who don't go to church are more open to going to church than you would think, and that even people who are not interested in going to church are interested on Easter and Christmas. They're at least open. So how about this week you invite them? We put Easter invite cards on your seat. Those are for you to take home and put in people's hands. When you do that, it doesn't have to be weird. Like it's like, oh, it'll be weird. Don't make it weird. It's not weird. Like, it's just a, hey, I go to this great church. It's church for people who don't like church. I like it. It's helped me. I think that you'd really like it. We've got a bunch of Easter services this weekend. It's going to be cool service. We're going to have Marvel characters there and give out tickets for Endgame movie. Our pastor grows his own oregano. Like you wanna come with me, right? Like, just simple that. You can do this at work. So I heard this week about a guy that goes to Verve. His name is Jesse. He's an electrician. He's kind of new to coming to church. And he's realized, oh, there's certain people I work with who don't go to church. And so he's been inviting them. Hey, I go to this cool church. Like, I can't believe I go to church, but I like it. You want to come with me? One thing that researchers have discovered is that it typically takes 5 or 6 invites before someone will actually show up. But most Christians stop inviting their friends after 1 or 2 invites. And so, like, we all say, like, I have invited my friends. They didn't come. It's because you stopped after 1 or 2, and you have to invite them 5 or 6 times before they come. And so he invited his friend 5 or 6 times, and yep, he started coming. You can invite people in your neighborhood. I was talking to somebody else this week, another guy who comes to Verve, and he says, there's one neighbor I see more than most of my other neighbors, like washing the car, getting the mail, he's there. And so I always strike up a conversation, how you doing, and try to talk a little bit. And I have developed a bit of a friendship with him, and I always mention church and say, hey, you should come and check out my church sometime. And invite him a bunch of times, and yep, he started coming. Now, you can invite one of the parents on your kid's team as you sit in the stands together. You can invite another parent from your kid's class. If you are in school, you can invite another kid from your class. So another story I heard just this week, junior in high school has been coming to Verve for a while, started inviting his friend, and finally his friend started coming. And about a month ago, the Verve kid was out of town. The friend knew, but came anyway without him. Like, I don't need him here. This is my church now. It's mine. You can do this. And this is what God's people do. This is the life we were called to. You are blessed to be a blessing. And Easter is the perfect week to do this. So let's do this week. And then after Easter, we've created, the whole reason we did it is to create another easy, great invite for you. We're going to have baseball legend Pete Rose here on stage on May 5th. We're going to do this short series called Second Chances, and we're going to interview Pete that day on his baseball career and on his desire for a second chance with baseball, which he has been excluded from because of the gambling scandal that he was involved in. So that's another great invite to bring your friends. Listen, the church was created to be a refuge for people outside its walls. We get to invite people in so they can experience the refuge, so they can experience God and His love, so they can be blessed, so they can be a blessing. Every week, we end our services by shouting this phrase. We all say, Viva la Verve, which means live the life. The name of our church, Verve, it means enthusiastic, passionate life. And so it's this reminder, let's go out and actually live the life that God's called us to, the life that we talked about today. Let's go live it. And this is the life God's called us to. So let's go out and live it. Like, let's invite people in. Let's share what we have. That is our calling. We are blessed to be a blessing. Thank you guys for being here. I'll see you next week for one of our 6 Easter services with your friends. Until then, and as always, Viva la Verve! See you guys.